Hey everyone, welcome to Crewcast. It's a podcast for guys of every generation. And I'm Todd Mullins, the pastor at Christ Fellowship Church here in South Florida. The Crewcast is a series of real conversations with other men designed to help you grow in your faith, live with purpose, and become the man God has created you to be.
Welcome back to Crewcast, a series of conversation for the guys of Christ Fellowship Church. Crewcast is designed to help you live the life God has called you to live by igniting your faith and giving you practical tools to walk it out. I'm Jonathan Samuels. I get the privilege to serve here. And we've got some great guys from the crew here today. We have our family ministry pastor, Ryan McDermott.
What's going on?
Yeah. And one of our campus pastors, Cole Robinson.
What's
How are you feeling, fellas?
Feeling great.
That's a good day.
As Pastor Todd mentioned last week, this season, we're going to be talking about fatherhood. Not all of us are dads, but the truth is we all have a dad. And for some of us, our relationship with our dad might be considered complex or even non-existent. But the truth is our relationship with our father on earth frames and impacts our relationship with our father in heaven. And we're all called to be spiritual fathers and to pass on the baton for the next generation. For some of us who are dads or foster dads or adoptive dads, that means raising our kids to know, to love, and cherish God. And for others, it means investing in the next generation here at church or in your community, wherever you find yourself. And I want you to tune in. And I want to encourage you in this season to lean into some of the incredible conversations that we have lined up for you, whether you are a son, a father, or a spiritual father to the next generation. So I'd love to start with something a little bit lighthearted. I want to hear from you guys. Has there been a time where you tried to impress your kids or build something for your kids and it just didn't work out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a season of life where I turned 30 and everything kind of went downhill. So turning 30 means I try to dress cool, but now I have lower back pain and a favorite pillow is what that means for me. So my daughter and I
take it on trips. Yeah, when you start taking your pillow on trips,
my wife will not allow me to take the pillow on trips, but I absolutely would. So I'm at a place now where my kid just humbles me on a daily basis. So the other day I went to pick her up, she's five, and as I grabbed her around the arms, she said, "Daddy, wait. You can't pick me up anymore because you're old and your back hurts."
Oh, no.
Good job, man.
So, so the Holy Spirit stopped me from the words that I had for my child in that moment.
Not fair. She's looking out for you.
Yeah, she is. She's probably right. I probably would have been on the bed the rest of the day.
That's awesome. Great. We've got two kids at home. They're 9 and 6 right now. And for whatever reason, the first time when you asked that question, I thought about the first time that I hurt one of our children on accident.
Declan on accident.
Yeah, completely unintentional. But our son was really young and I was cutting his nails. He was like a couple months old, you know, it's like new dad experience. Yeah. I should not have done it. And I remember cutting one of his nails and he like yelps and starts to bleed. And I've never felt worse about anything in my entire life when I left. Yeah. Oh man!
I can't do when they're hurt, and I thought, I mean, cutting nails, not that bad. It's worse.
No, because I can't. You're crying, I refuse to do that for that exact reason, right there.
I gotta tell you, the first time I hurt one of my kids was actually a couple of years ago. My kids were challenging each other at handstands, and as a dad who's a 3 in Enneagram, I thought, I gotta show you.
I got this.
I still don't let the fluff fool you. I still
this
got
is
it
how
in
you
me.
Do it. Right?
So I was like, I'm gonna do a handstand. So I did one. Your boy lasted about 4 or 5 seconds, but I fell over. And when I fell over, my foot hit one of my kids, my middle child, and just knocked him down. I thought DCF is on the way. So, we try not to hurt our kids. But
and you haven't done a handstand.
I haven't done a handstand.
Retired right there. Done.
It's done. I'm getting that back pain like Cole. But in all seriousness, today we're going to be diving into the topic of father wounds. And more than bumps, more than bruises, there's a big emotional weight that the role of father can play in each and every one of our lives.
And it's true.
We're asking questions like, how do you lead as a dad or a spiritual dad when you grew up without a father? Mm. How do daddy issues impact our relationship with our Heavenly Father? And how can we prepare for fatherhood or grow as a father when we didn't even grow up with the best blueprint for ourselves? So we're going to be covering all that this episode and more. And if you aren't a dad, or if you feel like you had a pretty great earthly dad, don't tune out, because what we share today is going to help you grow as a man no matter where you're at. So, man, I'd love to start and just talk about how your relationship with your earthly father has impacted or even framed your relationship with your Heavenly Father.
Yep.
Yeah. So for me, I didn't really grow up knowing the Lord. You know, it wasn't really until middle school that I came into a relationship with Jesus. But prior to that, you know, my dad had pretty high standards, had pretty high expectations of what I would achieve or what I would do or what my grades would be like and all of those things. And so for me, that kind of felt like I had to perform, you know, or earn the admiration or the love of my dad. That's not his fault. That's just how it impacted me. You know, if I got a B, I felt like I needed an A, you know, and all that. And so when I came into a relationship with the Lord, I unknowingly brought all of that into my relationship with God. And I felt like faith was this performance oriented, I had to achieve for God or earn his love or earn his favor or blessing or whatever you would want to call it. And so for me, especially early in my relationship, my walk with the Lord, like it was all kind of performance oriented, achievement related. And I felt like if I didn't do enough or I wasn't enough, that God didn't love me. And I really had to work through that to understand that the love of our Heavenly Father is unconditional, even when we feel like we've experienced love that is conditional. When I fall short, that's exactly when God loves me. When I don't perform, when I don't achieve, like God still loves me and all of that. So that was just one way that relationship impacted how I saw my Heavenly Father.
Yeah, you know, I so relate with that because I think the desire in me to make Dad proud also relates to the desire to make my Heavenly Father proud.
Yeah.
And I think that's healthy. I think that's a good thing that we have, but there are definitely times where it can become unhealthy when we think our status is contingent upon our achievements and what we do. And, you know, I think that's something that we all struggle with at times.
Yeah. And you said a phrase that I liked a lot. You said, I've had to work through these things. Mm-hmm. So my dad and I have had some pretty serious ups and downs in our relationship. Happy to say that right now, both of us are following Jesus. I know we're going to spend eternity and my family's in a good spot, but we weren't always there. So a little bit of the same thing that Ryan was kind of talking through. And we've had some moments that I've had to go back and actually process with my dad. And I've had to process with a licensed counselor just to go, here's what I've experienced in my own life and here's how it's played out over the years. So I think this conversation, father wounds, you might hear that and you might do what I did, which is you check out and go, well, I was never abused or abandoned or I was never mistreated physically, maybe even emotionally, but every single one of us have things we take away from our relationship with our parents that informs and affects the way that we lead. So what I mean by that is I pretty consistently now, and maybe you're like me, I'll be talking to, we have two kids, we have a one-year-old and a five-year-old. I'll be talking to our five-year-old daughter and I'll literally stop myself and go, that was my dad through and through. Now that's not all bad, but there's pieces of it that I don't want to reflect onto my kids because of my experience. So a wound is defined as something that is untreated. So a scar is something that has been healed over that you can see the effects of it, but it's no longer an open problem. A wound is a problem. Mm-hmm. It's something that you need to deal with and treat. And I had to actually go spend some time with somebody who's going to be on one of our later episodes, a guy named Brian in our church. And I'm happy to say that I was able to sit down and process some of those wounds that were open that were still affecting areas of my life. So my question today would be like, where are the wounds in your life, whether they're massive or small, it's important that we treat them. And I resonate with Ryan as well. I'm a 3 on the Enneagram, if you know Enneagram at all, and I love to achieve. And my dad was a military guy. I played sports all growing up. So same thing. I started following Jesus and, I just thought that God wanted me to be successful and God wanted me to be perfect. And those wounds that I had in the past actually accelerated that. And it, even to this day, I have to stop and remember God's grace and mercy in my life, right? And that's the cause of a wound. It's pain that sees itself in areas of your life.
Yeah. I think our tendency as men too is just to like
cover it up.
We don't have wounds. We're not hurt. We're fine. We pretend we're not there, you know? And to your point about like wounds or things that are open and affect you, like, you know, just putting a bandage over a wound, you know, especially a significant one or a serious one, doesn't actually heal it, you know? Yep. And I think, in fact, like sometimes if you just cover up a wound and pretend it's not there, it's like it only gets worse, you know, and it begins to affect and infect every area of your life. And so I think that's one of the things, just thinking about, you know, the guys who are going to be listening to this podcast, is like so many of us have the tendency to pretend like we're okay. it's okay. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, really recognizing one, we all have father wounds, mm-hmm. you know, like we all have, I think you said earlier, daddy issues, you know, like we have that stuff. And some of them, you know, are completely unintentional. We had incredible parents who right. tried their best and did all those things, but there are still things that need to be dealt with, you know? And so, yeah, I think your point is well made. It's like, if you don't address those things, then they begin to impact the way you see God, mm-hmm. the way you parent, the way you lead, the way you live, all that. So I think just, you know, coming to a place where it's like, man, that's actually okay that yeah. we all have some things that we need to deal with.
Yeah.
Is really helpful.
I'm embarrassed to know this lyric, but Taylor Swift has a lyric in one of her songs, and she says, Band-Aids don't fix bullet holes.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think about that often because there are things in your life that are actually bullet holes.
Yeah.
You got to go in and extract the thing that has caused you pain, that's caused you infection.
Yep.
You got to treat it. And yeah. one of the things that I think we need to have a conversation about kind of right off the bat is fatherlessness. Mm. So as we were processing these episodes of Crewcast, that's something that's pervasive in our society.
Yep.
I would say, especially you guys being in family ministries, the amount of people that come to our church that we come in contact with on a weekly basis that mm-hmm. just don't have a dad at all. Like mm-hmm. hasn't been there, wasn't there. There's abandonment issues. I think we just need to have a conversation about what we do about that. You know, I mentioned earlier, I've been able to talk to my dad and process some of the things. What about the people who you couldn't even tell me where your dad is? Mm. You know, what I want to say, first of all, to you is like, your heavenly father sees you
yeah.
and he knows you and he loves you. Yeah. But practically, what would you guys say to that person who's going, I don't even know where my dad is. I couldn't even reach out to him. Do I restore a relationship? I've prayed for that. Maybe you're believing for that, but what does that look like for you guys?
Yeah. I mean, I think scripture talks a lot about like our physical families, mm-hmm. you know, and sort of like our blood relatives and all that. But actually, God's word has a lot more to say about spiritual families. And yeah. one of the most beautiful things I think about the church or the body of Christ is it can fill in all the gaps of yeah. like the relationships that maybe you ought to have but don't have right. and all of that. And so, you know, the church is the body of Christ in which God provides us those relationships that we need. And so we all need spiritual fathers, mm-hmm. and the church is a place where we can find those things. And so yep. practically, you may not have a dad in your life, mm-hmm. In terms of like a present biological father yep. but through the church, God can provide spiritual fathers. You know, I think about the moment in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul's like writing to the Corinthians, and he says, like, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. Mm. But through the gospel, I became your father. And he yeah, even says, like, I sent my son Timothy to you, who was not his actual biological son. You know, yeah. So he's just modeling there this relationship that you can have within the context of the church where God will provide fathers and with that comes like mentors, examples, you know, guides, guardians, all of those things. And so I think one of the things that I think about when you bring that up is how the church can make up for mm-hmm. maybe what our experience and our family might be.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think it's something that's so necessary, especially for this next generation that we're seeing that are working through some of the father wounds that includes fatherlessness and includes the areas in which they feel like they haven't had an example or they haven't had people in their life as well. And so even from the next generation to, let's say, young adults, let's say early fathers or young fathers, what would you say to those individuals who are saying, like, I didn't have an example, whether it's because they didn't have a father in their life that was active and engaged or whether it's because their example wasn't a great example, what would you say to them as they're trying to process being a father?
Yeah, I would say lean into the church. So if you're listening to this, hopefully you're connected to Christ Fellowship or a local church in some way. I would encourage you to do that. But I have fathers here. I'd say Ryan is a father to me. He's not that much older than me. But when I came here almost 10 years ago, you know, you have informed the way I process so much of my life, the way I parent, the way I lead. I look at Pastor Todd and Coach. They're distant, right? They're not my biological father, but as the pastors of this church, Pastor Julie, like, I modeled my life after them and it served me well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how God has designed families in the church is that when you show up to students on a Wednesday night or young adults on a Tuesday night, you find people that you can model your life after, people that you trust, people that you love. And we have to lean into that. So I think there's a little bit I have sensed in the past, probably past few years especially, that there's a little bit of a mentality that it's like, I want someone to seek me out and mentor me. I want someone to come find me and and then speak into my life. But I've learned that I have to go ask questions. Like I need to go find people that I respect and I love and go, can I buy you lunch? Can I ask you some questions about this thing that I'm walking through in my life? That takes some effort. It's a little bit of fear of rejection. Like they might say no, but typically the answer has been yes. And what I've been able to learn from people has changed my life permanently. So I would encourage that. And that, and I love what Ryan is talking about, is because our vision as a church is to get there first. So in the race to the heart of the next generation, the first one there wins. And in this next generation, there are kids who are showing up every day in every environment that don't have a physical father, but they walk in and they find a small group leader, or they find a table leader, or they find a pastor who loves in them and believes in them and champions them. And I could name story after story of people I'm thinking about that don't know their physical father or haven't had a great relationship, but their lives are healthy and whole because of those people.
Yeah. And, you know, I even think in my life, I do have those mentors that have asked and, you know, had the vulnerable questions of like, help me see this. I didn't have an example, but I also find partnering with other guys that are my age and have kids my age has also been valuable. I recently read a book, The Intentional Father, and I would encourage anyone to read that book. And one of the things it talks about, though, is this idea of, as you're raising the next generation, you actually need other fathers who have kids the same age so that you can decide, hey, together, we're going to, you know, iron sharpen iron, but also the next generation needs that. They need to know that there are a group of guys who are godly examples for them that they can look up to, they can aspire to be like, that are setting the way in a godly way for their lives. And I found in my personal life, that's just been an incredible asset for me.
Yeah, you need that.
As you asked that question, I thought about two things. One, I thought about, like, man, becoming a dad was probably the most terrifying thing I've ever done.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They literally, like, you go to the hospital and they're like, all right, take this home. And they're like, and do what? Like, where do I go? Yeah.
YouTube videos.
I probably spent 6 hours trying to put a car seat in the back seat, you know, like just making sure it was right. So, and in general, that was just the most terrifying thing I've ever done. So I think just one, I would want to say that is like, we all have those moments where we have absolutely no idea what we're doing. Yeah. And that's why it's so, what you're talking about is so important, is because like, you don't have to figure it out on your own. But then I also thought about like, you know, whatever our experience has been, typically we're either like a reflection of that or a reaction to that, you know, either you continue on and reflect the things that you've experienced growing up or being parented or anything. And you reflect those, you know, to your own kids or the people around you, or you're a reaction to. And so what I mean is, like, for those who would say, I didn't have a great example, or I didn't have an example or anything, well, that's okay. Like, you can start a new legacy for your family. Yeah, you can lead your family and your kids differently, and you don't have to continue in the same pattern. And I think the importance of this conversation is, if we're not intentional, you will just be a reflection of whatever you received, good, bad, or indifferent. And so to instead kind of draw a line in the sand and go, whatever I've been given, that's not part of my, I'm not responsible for that, but I can start a new legacy, or I can turn over a new page in my family, or I can do differently. And I think that's the call, right? That's what's really important, especially for those who are listening. It's like, yes, we all probably have some father wounds that we need to like identify, we need to acknowledge, we need to work through. But at the end of the day, we do that because you can create a new legacy for your family.
Yeah, that's right. And let me just pause on that real fast, because I've heard both of you, as you're talking, use this tension of, my dad wasn't perfect, but it's not all his fault. And it's like this, like, and I think we can fall into one of those two camps, which is like, my dad's just terrible, it's all his fault. Or my dad set the perfect example, and it's just all me, and I'm wounded, and I've seen you manage that well.
No,
how do you handle that tension?
I think for me, I've learned in my own life this week. I mean, so Chris and I are foster parents. We've had 13 kids come to our homes. So we don't have any biological kids, but we have two forever kids. Wow. And one of the things that I've been realizing is like what my parents did on a day-to-day basis, what they sacrificed, what they gave up, what they had to lead through, I despised them for it for so long, and they were just doing the best that they could. Mm. Now, I don't want to justify any harm that's been done to anybody. At the same time, a lot of our experience was just our parents doing the best that they could. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the best I can. And what Ryan was just talking about, I'm learning in my own life that when I'm not doing well, I don't parent well. Mm. When I'm not spiritually healthy, when I am not rested, when I am anxious, when I am frustrated, when our marriage is, there's tension there. We've talked about, Chris and I have talked about going, hey, we need to put some guardrails and boundaries up because hurt people hurt people. Mm. And I have a phrase that's exactly what you said. Yours was way cooler. Mine's a little edgier. It's like you have two choices. You can get bitter or you can get better. Oh. So I can get bitter at all the things I experienced, or I can just get better personally. Mm-hmm. I can grow. I can be healthy. I can get closer to Jesus. So like that's, I've had to make that decision because I've been bitter at times because of my experience. Now I parent like this, or I experienced that, but I can change it.
Yeah. Mm. It's really easy to judge your parents until you become one.
Yes.
Right. Like, and so maybe that's an encouragement if you're listening to this and you're
go
a little bit younger.
Go pay for Disney World one time and then you're like, my parents did this?
Yeah. It's really easy to judge your parents until you become one. And so I think one thing that helps me with that is just the recognition of like, I'm not a perfect father, you know? And I will tell my kids that and I will embrace that and I will apologize when I get things wrong and all of those things. But, you know, I remember one time a couple of years ago when I was home with Declan and he did something. I can't even remember now what it was. And but he got in trouble. So I reprimanded him for what he had done and wasn't a big deal. I thought it was over, you know, and it, enough time passed that I kind of looked up. And I'm like, where is he? And I go into his room. And he's like on his bed and he's weeping, you know, which is like second only to making him bleed with like the nail clipper. Well, I was like, you know, it was devastating. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is it? You know, I didn't know what was wrong. And so I kind of rushed over to him like, buddy, what's happening? And like through his tears, all he could get out was like, I'm a bad boy, you know, and something about the way I had responded to my son in that moment left him with the impression I'm a bad boy. Right. And here he is like sorrowful for that. You know, I'm like, oh no, that's not true. Like you're not a bad boy. Like you may have done a bad thing. You may have made a mistake. You may, but you're not a bad boy. That's not who you are. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, like, and this happens a lot, I think with most parents have an experience just like this.
Yeah.
Of like
totally.
Where it's not what they've done, but it begins to become who they are. And I'm like, oh no, that is not who you are. Yep. You know, like, you're a child of God. Yeah, I love you. I'm proud of you. You know, like, and I could see literally as I began to speak those things over my son and like remind him of who he was, like, you're mine and you'll always be mine and I'll never love you any less. And just speaking that stuff over him, his whole countenance changed, you know? And so I'm not a perfect dad and it would be crazy for me to expect anybody else to be a perfect dad. So even though it's a lot easier to judge your parents before you become one, I think actually we should embrace the fact that we are not perfect. We're not always going to get it right. And that actually helps our kids and our parenting when we...
But imagine if you hadn't stopped. So what I love about that story is that you took the time to walk in and your heart felt it. You had compassion for it. I think of times that my daughter has needed something and I've kind of been like, suck it up.
Yeah,
I do like, that what too. Do you? Yeah. And I've had to stop and go, she was reaching out for healing from a wound that was starting.
Right.
And I think there are wounds that are starting in our kids right now that you see and you got to lean into it. Good. I mean, all the time she makes comments like, Daddy, am I beautiful today? And I, yeah, you're beautiful. Or, oh my gosh, you're the prettiest girl in the whole world. Like, you know, no guy should ever talk to you. Like just, I'm realizing the open doors that are just slight.
Yeah,
and I'm good. Just like, I got to take advantage of every one of them because what I've really been arrested by lately is like, when do those doors close?
Yeah.
Cause they're going to close. And the thing is one day she's not going to want me to pick her up. One day she's not going to ask, am I beautiful today? One day she's just going to start to believe things.
Right.
And I want to inform them now.
Spoken over her.
Exactly. And what we talked about earlier, before this episode, A.W. Tozer says this, what you think about when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Now, I share that because if our earthly father and our view of him and our experience of what we've experienced on earth informs the view of our Heavenly Father. Like, how much more so now for our kids do we have to go, man, I want to speak the things of God over you, because it's going to affect the way you view God. It's the most important thing about them.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think I resonate with that because my oldest just turned 7. Mm. And I actually have distinct memories of when I was 7 years old. Mm. And that made me cause some pause of like what I do and say. Not that it hasn't mattered up to this moment. Yeah. But like,
no,
but this
she'll,
the, no, for sure,
she'll actually remember.
She's going to remember these moments and these things. And you just shared, both of you, just great illustration of maybe being a wounded healer, where you yourself were wounded, but yet you brought healing so that you could set up the next generation, your kids, well. But I mean, I just want to lean in just a little bit further into what it meant for you to have to find healing in those wounds. Like, I've heard you talk about identifying it. I heard you saying everyone has wounds from our parents. But like, what have you done in order to bring healing to those wounds?
Yeah, I mean, Cole, you mentioned counseling, you know, and really working through it. That's definitely been part of my experience is having the right voices in my life and working through those things. You know, I think the recognition that like relationships are dynamic things. So at times they're better, and at times they're, you know, you said like the ups and downs of that. And so like being okay with that, you know, and then too, like I think about part of my experience and it will be for others as well, is like the faith lens may or may not be shared. And so how you deal with something versus how, you know, your parents might deal with something, like there's a lot of different things that you have to kind of navigate there. So I think, you know, time, conversation, recognizing the ebbs and flows of a relationship, getting, you know, professional help, whether it's pastoral counseling or professional counseling or something to help navigate some of those things. And then I feel like the longer I am a parent, the more I do see things differently about my experience, you know? So those are a couple of things for me.
Yeah. And one thing I would say, as I've been processing this concept and this subject, especially for the sons that are listening, that so we are talking to fathers, but also maybe somebody you have a wound. There's a difference between honoring your parents and obeying your parents. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is I'm at the age now where my parents could give me advice or direct me on things, and I will honor them, but I don't have to listen to them. So there's things in our life that we've experienced that I have had conversations with people that still feel like their parents are directing and leading and guiding and speaking in every area of their life. And I've had to go, we honor them, but at the same time, we don't have to listen to their direction because they might have different perspectives. And I think a lot of times when we have parents that maybe have wounded us or have control over areas of our lives, we have to be very careful to draw a line and go, I'm going to honor but not obey. Does that resonate like with you guys? I think that's for a lot of people that are walking through life, maybe even older on.
Yeah, I think it resonates because so far we've been talking about past wounds, but there are parents and dads who are listening who are still dealing with wounded and wounds right now, where their dads and the people, their parents are also currently wounding when we give access to. And I think what we have to do is to set boundaries up, have, you know, display honor like God wants us to, but also being sure to have those boundaries of obedience versus honor in our life as well. This has been, I think, such a helpful conversation. I walked away with, even as you were talking about Declan, Ryan, and about the words you spoke over him.
Yep.
Man, what does our Heavenly Father speak over us and our wounds, what we've experienced in our identity? And I just want to say, man, if you have been dealing with wounds in your life and you haven't A, identified them, or B, sought help for them, like God doesn't want you to live in those wounds. And
that's right.
He wants you to transform. God wants to transform those wounds that are in your life so they're not transferred to the next generation. So go ahead and seek that help and discover what the Heavenly Father says about you. But as we close, I'd love to hear at least one story that's your favorite story or experience as a father so far.
Yeah. I know you've got great ones.
Oh gosh.
Ryan is deeply emotional. Don't let him fool you.
I am deeply emotional. Man, I think for me, the greatest joy is just seeing my kids have their own relationship with the Lord. So, you know, moments when my kids are like, place their faith in Jesus, want to get baptized, like some of that. Yep. But even just recently, you know, we kicked off the year with like revival night services mm-hmm. here at Christ Fellowship. And on one of those nights, we had like a special revival service for mm-hmm. elementary kids. And one of our kids came out, Declan came out, and he was like tearful, like mm-hmm. of like, Dad, I just heard from the Lord.
Come on, you know? Yeah, and it's awesome.
So stuff like that is, mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of fun and we do a lot of trips and adventures and all that stuff is really, really great. But that's the greatest joy that I've yet to have, I've had as a parent thus far, is like watching your kids really step into their own relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, I gotta say, at Revival Nights, my daughter gave her life to Jesus.
Come on, let's go.
I mean, let's go. Celebrated.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We are so excited and happy for her. We talked to her about her next step being baptism, but she just thinks everyone's getting drowned. So yeah. She's afraid, absolutely afraid. I was like, Daddy, we'll do it with you. You know, don't worry about it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I think our daughter's just at the point now where she's articulating her faith and quoting scripture from school that she learns. One of my favorite memories, though, so if I, you know, obviously you guys gave a spiritual answer, but she saw snow for the first time in Colorado last year. I grew up in Alaska. So like, it was just like, as soon as we landed and she saw it on the ground, it was like time stopped. Yeah. Like she's staring out the window, like, what is that? Yeah, as a Florida kid. And then when we get to our Airbnb, there was like this little hill in the backyard and we went sledding for 10 hours. Yep. Like didn't want to go inside, didn't even feel the temperature. Yep. And that's a moment that's like core memory from the movie Inside Out, if you've seen that. Yeah. Like core memory for me. And so many things happened on that trip.
Dude, but it was what is it about snow? Like my kids magical. Are the same way. Yeah. We'll ski for like 8 hours in a day and then they'll go spend the next 4 hours like playing in the snow.
Sure. It's people, I can't, like I've done this a few times where I've been like, who in the room hasn't seen snow? And like 30 hands will go up and I'm like, cancel everything on your bucket list. You don't need the Eiffel Tower. You need to go see snow. Yeah.
The first time Declan ever saw snow, he was like, he had this breakdown and he was like, I want to pee in the snow. Yes. And we like wouldn't let him pee in the snow. That. He was like, I have it on video. He's like, I want to pee in the snow. Like whatever reason, that was his first instinct.
We bought, which I don't know why we did this, because any parent that spends $285 on ski lessons for their kid, like don't be like me. Don't be dumb. My daughter made it 7 minutes. We got her all like bundled up. You know how long that takes. Got her all bundled up. She walks out on the slope. The instructor grabs her. She goes down one time and then she collapses in the snow and lays like arms spread out.
She's done.
So after like 4 minutes, I'm like, yo, anybody gonna help my kid? Like she's over there on the ground. And he was like, she won't talk to me. So I walk over and I'm like, baby, what's going on? And she's like, I peed in my suit. Trip over. We're going home. That's it. Because like you're 7 layers deep at that point.
Oh, yeah. You know? But stop everything.
All of it. Yeah. Just every memory from that. Yeah. That's and awesome. I think I've just learned to slow down. And I've told that to Carissa to hold me accountable is like how fast I blow past moments that I'm like, oh, I just need to live in this. So
yeah, I think we all do. We all need to cherish these moments, overcome the wounds in our life and be there with our kids during these moments. And my kids are Texas and Florida born, where I was raised in Oklahoma. So we had snow a lot. And so only my daughter's seen snow, but I can get them to see some snow because it is magical.
It's great.
Well, before we close, I wanted to invite you to send in some of these questions that you may have as you're going through the podcast. At the end of the season, we're going to have two mental health professionals answer the questions that you send in. So use the form link in the show notes. You want to make sure that you access that. And there's no topic that's off limits. So go ahead and enter whatever questions that you may have. Some of the questions that we've seen already are like, do you have a child who is questioning their sexuality and need advice? Some of the other ones are like, do you have a child that's struggling with depression, anxiety, whatever your questions may be? I want to encourage you to send those in because those mental health specialists are there to help you and to guide you in the process. I want to say thank you so much to our Crewcast guys today who've been sharing, been vulnerable, been open, been honest. And I want to encourage you to take the next step yourself. And one of the best next steps that I know is to join a crew. You need a group of guys who are there with you to encourage you, to help you walk this path that God has for you. We'll make sure to include some of those links in the show notes so you can find your place at Christ Fellowship Church. And make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And follow us on Instagram at crew.cf. We will catch you next week.